Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, so I'm going to sports talk radio this up, and we're going to play the game because I want... You know, we're talking O-line. Mike's a sports talk radio veteran. Logan, you're clearly going to be the most uncomfortable with this. But it's also just a mock trade. So the question is, would you make the trade? And I'm going to make it, let's say, 36 and 67. I'll go the richest version of this. Like, if you're doing 36 and 40, you better be trading into the mid-teens. So we're going to say this player, the players I'm going to name are available. I'll say 23. Minnesota, presuming that they still hold that pick by then and they haven't made another trade to get into the top five for a quarterback. But you got to get in front of Dallas at 24. And so you're going to package 36 and 67, which Washington has. You're going to go down from six top 100 picks to five top 100 picks to do this. Would you do it for the following players? The first one, since there seems to be the biggest disagreement here, is Tyler Guyton. Would you make that trade? Mike, I'll let you go first.
I would probably not.
Yeah, so for me, I think the thing with Tyler Guyton is if you want him, I think you have to get to 23 because I think one of those next four or five teams will probably take him. And again, like Mike alluded to, like he's very raw. He's very inconsistent. But the athlete, the frame, all those things, like there's a reason. Like there's only a couple guys on the planet Earth that look like this. I would definitely consider it. I would have to have a talk with my offensive line coach about whether he thought he could get him there, quite honestly, like to Mike's point. But like in terms of the athlete, in terms of the length, in terms of the mentality, watching him at the Senior Bowl, it's something I would definitely consider, but it's not an emphatic yes from me. Like if we were talking, hey, man,
interesting,
27 to 35, like, or 27 to 32, like I'd be like, hell yeah, let's get that done because I think he's going to be that much athletically better than the guys we just talked about. But it is a little bit of rich for a guy that I think is on the fence in terms of whether he's going to actually hit in terms of offensive line play or not.
Okay, interesting. Logan, I thought that was going to be 100% yes for you, but that's a definitive maybe, which is honestly right up your alley.
That's how I do stuff. Just maybes, man. We're just playing the fence the whole time.
Just maybes. This one I feel like is going to be more definitive. Amarius Mims.
Mike, you want to go? I think I know your answer probably.
I would, yeah. I just think you don't get 340 pounds that looks and moves like that very often. And again, like, I think he's just a math problem. I think you just have to get him more reps because a lot of the rest of it was there. The Georgia offensive line, the way it changed when he was out of that game and they had to kick Xavier Truss out to right tackle and kind of mix up the bag, it was noticeable for a guy that just hadn't, even at that point, played a ton of football. But again, like, bends really well for a guy that size, moves really well for a guy that size. He's just got to get more consistent with a lot of things. But I would trust him if I'm going to take one of the guys that's a little bit more on the traitsy side and say, yeah, that dude's a little bit closer and I think I can get him there.
Yeah, I mean, that's 100% yes for me. And I think just because I think when it's all said and done, he might be the best guy in the class. And I think when you look at the Ohio State game, when you look at the Alabama game, like it looks like I've said this before, it looks like you're watching a high school football game and there's that one kid who's going D1, yes, right? He's just physically better than everybody. And it's like he's kind of sleepwalking. Like his technique's not always perfect, but he's just bigger, stronger, faster. Like seeing him at the second level, like put hands on linebackers and just eject them, you're just like, this is very unique. It's kind of like watching DeJuan Jones last year a little bit from Ohio State. You're just so big and you're just so skilled and athletic and you understand the angle so well, like you're going to be fine. So I think the one thing that gets me a little bit nervous is you hear things like he's a little, he's younger prospect, immature guy. Like how does he kind of mature and develop as an NFL player? But in terms of what you see on film, even though it's only seven games, like I'm not kidding. Like, there is a universe, and it's a very plausible universe, where he's the best offensive lineman coming out of this class. So I think if you're going to take a shot, you're going to play the lottery, like, might as well play with that guy. So,
yeah, the character stuff's interesting with him, because you hear that, but you also see, like, Dane Brugler has in the Beast, like, some really, really high compliments from some of his teammates. So the teammates speak really highly of him. Sometimes you wonder, like, how company line trained they are coming out of college, especially a place like Georgia. You know, how trained up, media trained does Kirby Smart have him? But ultimately, you know, the center, I think, from Georgia had some really nice things to say about Mims. All right, so two guys I'm going to put out there kind of together for the same reason. It feels like Talisi Fuaga, there's no way he falls that far. But Barton, I'm going to put him as well for the reason that a lot of people like don't know if they're actually tackles. Fuaga, there's a lot of people that say that dude's a guard. Now it feels like he's a top 15 pick as a guard anyway, so probably not a thing. But if you're Washington and you need a tackle, specifically you need a left tackle, if somehow those guys fall, are you interested in them to play tackle?
Mike, you want to go?
Sure. I would say for Talisi, super interested in him playing tackle. I think he'd be a one. Obviously, a lot of his ball has been over on the right side there, but just a road grader. And you want to talk about like incredibly technically sound, looks the way it's supposed to. Sometimes the change of direction leaves a little bit to be desired. That might be my one concern with edge athletes. And it's why I think if you got him at guard, man, you got a home run. But if you got him at tackle, I think you still have a really solid starting player there that you can plug in pretty close to day one. How he would handle the flip, like we talked about, is everybody else's thing. Barton, I really think he's got to be an interior guy. I thought he held up really well against some of the quality edge guys that you saw around the ACC. I think his lower body bend, his core strength, all this stuff gives him a chance anywhere. But I really think if you were going to want him in as a day one starter, inside is probably where you want him to end up. Prefer him. Center would be awesome, but I think he could absolutely play guard with what you've seen him do, like largely out of a two-point stance. Like, you guys know this. You shouldn't be able to generate the kind of power you see that dude kind of consistently do coming out of a two-point stance all the time, the way he often had to do it, Duke.
Yeah, I mean, he's incredible, you know, and like, honestly, like with Barton, I know like Washington doesn't need an interior player necessarily, but he just feels like the most get on base type of prospect out of this like first round group. Like, you are going to get a good player, whether it's at guard. I mean, maybe right tackle in a pinch, guard, center, either guard spot. Like, I love his film. And if Washington needed a guard, I'd say, yeah, trade up and get him, because he's the best guard in the class by a mile. Talisi Fuaga, I'm doing backflips. I don't think he's going to be there necessarily, and I do worry about the switch with him from right to left. But in terms of just a good physical culture-setting football player, like, I think that's what you're looking at there. And then we'll figure out left tackle in free agency after the draft is over. But if he's there and that's the option to trade up for him and go get him, like, he is maybe my most favorite player in the draft just because he attacks the game with such violence. Like, he's getting personal foul penalties, not for dumb stuff, just for being overly aggressive. And I want that guy in the building to kind of set the tone and set the roadmap for this organization. So, yeah, I'd trade up for him in a second. Graham Barton also, if that was a need for the Washington Commanders. So,
yeah, for what it's worth, those are like, we all go through and we talk about draft prospects and you try and study as many of them as you can. There have not been two guys whose tape I have enjoyed watching more than Talisi and more than Graham. Like, those were like genuinely fun to sit and watch the way that these guys approach the game for all the reasons Logan mentioned.
So that's an easy one, Craig. He just might not get, like, I mean, it just doesn't fit a need necessarily, but they're good football players.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Fuaga is the kind of guy where, like, if he's fallen into the 20s because everyone's like, oh, he's a guard, not a tackle, and not the value, you just go, well, screw you guys. Like, we're going to trade up anyway. And if he becomes our left guard, like, they kind of, I mean, I know they signed Nick Allegretti, but all due respect to Nick Allegretti, if you can get that guy, might mess around with that. I'm guessing Fashanu, you guys would both trade up for as well.
Yeah, I do. I would. Olu's draft journey from last year to this year has been fascinating, because there were a lot of people that thought if he had left last year, he'd have been the first tackle off the board. He probably would have been a top five pick. And now we've seen, you know, the Joe Alt conversation I knew was coming this year, but I didn't see him getting lapped. Like, J.C. Latham being up above him was surprising to me, because this is a dude like, the nightmare scenario I've envisioned for the rest of the league is if Olu makes it down to like, where does Philly pick? 17?
No, if he gets they're like 21.
21, 22, sorry.
22. Yeah.
If he gets down to 22 and Philadelphia gets a hold of that guy, it is over. done, because that is probably, you talk about the ceiling for these guys, I think that's the most explosive lower body athlete in this offensive line class. Like, you watch the thing his lower half is capable of doing, it gets him out of so much trouble when his hand strike can get a little bit inconsistent at times. But I think he is so sudden, so twitchy, had a couple of rough games against Ohio State that kind of scared people off, or like a game like that against Ohio State that scared people off this last year. But again, I think if you just get everything tightened up a little bit there, like, there's a guy whose profile has a really, really high ceiling to it.
I have a nerdy football question. Can I ask Mike Craig, or is this going to kill the show?
It's going to kill the game. This is the best. That's what this podcast is. Yeah. It's, hey, Craig, get out of the way so Logan can do the super nerd thing.
Just ask, okay. So I like him a lot as a prospect. I agree. He's very twitched up athletically. But I think when you watch him, there is a, I don't say he's an external rotation of the hips, he's a waist bending kind of athlete, which makes me concerned long term about his ability to set the bull and his long term about his ability to be productive in the run game. You mentioned Graham Barton, just how bendy he is in his lower half, how he can uncoil his hips. I don't see that same type of strike from the hip standpoint from Fashanu. Now, if you think that's a technical correction, I'm 100% on board. If you think that's just kind of how he's built, like, I think his ceiling is much lower than people want to give him because again, that ankle tightness, that kind of hip tightness, he's like a long limbed lower half kind of guy, right? So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, because I like him, but I see some of that movement stuff in terms of ability to generate power into blocks. Because again, his movement stuff is great. His lateral quickness is awesome. His ability to get to the second level is great. So I just wanted to kind of throw that out to you and say, hey, Logan, that's dumb, or hey, I see it too, kind of thing. So,
no, I think like we're all going to fine tooth comb a lot of these guys, especially on the high end when it's a multi-million dollar investment. And that's the kind of stuff, you know, a guy like Duke Manyweather, who does a great job training up all these dudes, so good at identifying a bunch of those things and seeing that. That being said, for me, the concerns are a little bit more minimal there. Like, I think the thing he always does to me in the run game that seems like easy, it's just gets square on guys and gets his knees in a dude. Like, everyone always has that like hip roll thing as their sort of like totem in the run game of, oh, you got to roll your hips through. I was always taught more of like a get your knees into guys, and he just gets on to guys, gets latched on, and just finds a way to move them. Like, he's a point A to point B guy on his best days. I think there, you know, maybe some of it could be scheme specific and what you're asking him to do, but I think just between that and like the basketball player feet that you get in pass pro, like, so much of offensive line play is just how can you recover when things go wrong. It's what I think is Zach Martin's defining trait as an NFL offensive lineman, is even when things go wrong, there's a part of Zach that's going to make it right. He's the ultimate recovery offensive lineman. And I think Olu's lower body has a little bit of that to it, where even when his upper gets out of control a little bit or gets him in trouble, he's so fluid as a mover below the body that I think it offsets some of those other things, just because, again, he can get himself out of a jam sometimes. And that to me is really, really, I won't say undervalued, but it's very important.
No, I agree. I think the feet are excellent. He's probably got the best feet in the class, quite honest. Him or, I think, Troy Fontenot, right, from UW, probably both in, like, that really amazing feet type of area.
Yeah, Troy, like, as far as a lateral mover, yeah, like, especially, like, pushing to the spot, Troy is great. My worries for him come against longer, stronger athletes, where sometimes it doesn't look like the lower body strength is always there as much.
Right.
For edge guys, like, you watch those, you know, the freak shows they trot out at Oregon, although how long and strong every rusher is there. Every once in a while, you'd see Troy ending up on the ground, and I think in large part it was because kind of had to compensate once he got to the spot. And maybe didn't have, you know, as someone that lacked lower body strength, that was in the scouting report, every once in a while I can look up and I'm like, oh yeah, I know what that looks like a little bit every once in a while. So, you know, obviously not to that extent where we're grading on a curve here relative to a guy that talented, but it's why I do think more of him at like Garter. Again, I'm trying to say it publicly as much as possible, because Troy Fautanu at center, it kicks so much ass. I talked with Nate Tice about this over at The Athletic, and he kind of offered it up too, just because even when you look at him as stance, he's squared off like an interior guy, but he is so, so, so fluid on the edge. I can understand why, especially post-combine, people fell in love with that dude, seeing the way that he moved around in shorts.
I feel like every single guest we have right now is so incestuous. Like, we've had Nate, we've had Mina. Mina's talking about Nate. You're talking about Nate. Then you'll have Mina on. And then we're just over here like, hey, you guys want to talk about the Commanders? which does leave one question left, Mike. hard left turn, or perhaps more accurately, like 1 to 4 yards back, depending on whether or not we're in shotgun. If you're the Commanders at two, who would you take on the quarterback side of it?
I would take Drake. I've been steadfast on this. Like, I almost like to think of my pre-draft takes as like a time capsule and put them in there and then come to the end after we've done everything else, barring like major character concerns or an injury thing you find at the combine, and go, all right, what did I think about this guy as a football player when we got started with all this? And is there any reason why that would have changed? And my initial read of this class was there was a top tier of two guys. It was Caleb Williams and Drake May, who I said could have been more 1A and 1B, because I think their games have a lot of real similarities to them, even if Drake is the superior physical prospect really amongst this whole draft in terms of size and measurables and all that stuff that you can quantify. And so I would take him there. I understand the arguments for Jaden Daniels and appreciate them, but just for me, Drake would be the guy I was most comfortable with.
You really have talked to Nate a lot, haven't you?
I mean, Nate, I remember it was so funny watching this in college football season, because I'm sure you guys noticed this too. Like, when you watch a guy in college, and like, I'm getting ready to call games in college, so I'm watching, what does this player do that makes it really hard for the other team to beat him? What does he do well for that? Not as much thinking like, oh, what's he going to do on Sunday? How's that translate? And so there's a little bit of like Rosetta Stone that goes on after the season, where you got to retrain your brain to think, all right, what does this guy project like to the NFL? And I figured, like I said to someone before the season, the Drake and Caleb conversation is going to come. It's probably sometime after the year. And then once USC lost to Notre Dame, it was all of a sudden like everyone just goes, all right, well, now USC's out of it. Let's start nitpicking Caleb Williams like we're getting ready for the draft in the middle of October and November. And then that was when it all of a sudden started. And yeah, Nate planted his flag early on and said, I am Drake May number one overall guy. He has been steadfast on that. And I agree with a lot of what he sees there. I just think that's a guy I know. I think footwork and processing are the things that I see most people bring up there, but I don't know. I just did not see it enough nearly to say I would knock him below Jaden Daniels, who, you know, you've got some concerns about the frame there. Certainly, is he going to be more of a one read and go kind of guy versus what you'll get out of the other two prospects there? But I just think that kind of size, what we've already seen from the arm and him do without a ton of help there in North Carolina, makes me pretty optimistic.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Yeah, I mean, the thing, it's funny because we all see the same stuff. It's just, what do you value? And that's where we, you know, yeah. I think, I don't know where I am. It depends on the day.
I was going to say, are you guys, have you guys made like the strong argument for Jaden Daniels here? What's like the general consensus on Washington? Like, who do people want?
That's the $1 million question, depending on who you talk to, right? It's like, yeah. it's kind of like a microcosm of the national media, right? You got guys that are emphatically Jaden or emphatically Drake. And I kind of personally feel like they're all kind of in the same tier. And to me, it's more about kind of the ecosystem that Dan Quinn and the staff kind of develop here, you know, and if they like a guy, like, as you know, like, you've been around coaches before. If yeah. I like a guy, I'm more invested in you. I'm going to do more to make sure that you work and you're successful. So, you know, like, to me, I could, if they took JJ McCarthy, I'd be like, great. Now what are we going going to do to make sure that this guy gets to where we think he can go? So that's kind of my perspective. But again, that's like total fence sitting and goes back to that maybe thing Craig was mentioning earlier. But yeah, I think it, depending on who you talk to in the fan base in the DC area, like you're going to get a very emphatic response one way or the other.
I heard one of the best points I have heard in the feather for Jaden Daniels and his argument was Eric Galco, who's one of the directors of the East-West Shrine Bowl. He was on with Richard Johnson on Split Zone Duo the other day, which is an awesome podcast and a really fun conversation between the two of them. But he talked about the aptitude that Jaden has already displayed in college, about how much better he's gotten at every stop along the way. He was a guy that flashed early that we all saw at ASU. And when he said you talk to people around LSU and what he was able to do coming over there year one to year two with Brian Kelly and that staff, like he's a guy that takes, you know, what you give him and the criticism and all the coaching points and actually puts them out there and improves on those things. And so I think, you know, you talk about the intangibles and the stuff that coaches like being that receptive to coaching, where it's not only, yeah, you're going to take it, not have a bad attitude about it, but you're actually going to be able to apply that to your game, is hugely valuable for anyone at any position, but especially your quarterback. So I thought that was a really interesting and well thought out argument for Jaden Daniels and what he's already shown you as a collegiate player.
Yeah, I think that's why I've found myself slightly leaning back towards Daniels. Is you go, okay, the jump is the big question. Why did that happen? Are you just 23 and dominating college football now because you're an older guy who's, you've seen 4 years worth of it? And you go, no, he discovered VR and he put in the work and he took the time. You're like, oh, you have aptitude. Okay, cool. Like, we can work with that. So I think that's where I'm at. But ask me again tomorrow and I might have a different answer. Mike Golic Jr., Gojo and Golic, you can catch it on the DraftKings Network. Mike, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir, for your time. And we'll have to do more. Logan can ask you about internal hip rotation next time. We're getting
into like biomechanics and here.
And the weeds. And the weeds.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. This is sicko stuff. I love it.
Yeah, you and Kevin Clark go debate beers. We're going to do biomechanics over here.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.